Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah, I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You know, troops, it's not in the news, but there's a large and quickly growing Christian revival movement going on all over our country. It seems to have started last month in Asbury College in Kentucky, but it's spread all over the place. I've attended several in our gatherings in my church, and it was sure real to me. I'll be going back. In our Pledge of Allegiance, we say that ours is one nation under God, but we've certainly been falling away from that commitment. Troops, this is very, very exciting to this old airborne ranger. You might want to check it out. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Welcome to March, Skip. Got any plans for this month?
Oh, lots of plans for March, Colonel. But March is a time of reawakening. I mean, you were talking about revival. One of the things that revives are the groundhogs. They pop their furry little heads out, and then they come up to eat my garden. So this is one Marine that's going to be doing something about it, Colonel.
Ooh, that's... Maybe we should do a report on that at some point.
Maybe we should. Okay. You know, turning back the groundhog wave.
Okay, here's what we have for you today. On news and comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss a serious threat to our nation that our government is ignoring. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Next, we'll discuss the terrible reactions many people are getting from the COVID jabs and how our government, among other governments, is hiding this information. We'll talk with Dr. William Makis. Next, we'll talk with veteran Jeff Gray, who was arrested for holding up a sign while peacefully protesting. Then attorney Aaron Jensen will discuss our Second Amendment, and Christine Myron will introduce us to Blue Star Service Dogs.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really do welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. Of course, we'll start with the news. Take us there, bro.
Four of our soldiers were injured in February on a mission that took out Ibrahim al-Qahtani, the newly appointed ISIS leader whose predecessor had committed suicide. We conducted the raid with some assistance from the Syrian Democratic Forces. Our injured troops were treated at a military facility in Iraq. There are about 900 U.S. troops in Syria. They're doing all they can to hold back advances by the terrorists to protect all of us from ISIS rising to power in Syria and beyond.
Well, I salute these brave troops who are killing our enemies. I'm glad we have a few troops out doing this job. The wounded troops are in my prayers.
And the Trump administration officials were not aware of the overflight of several Chinese spy balloons prior to 2021, according to recently revealed classified information. This rebuts claims that former President Trump did not act regarding these transits. Following the discovery of a Chinese spy balloon over our nation, supporters of President Biden noted that there were similar overflights under Trump. Here's the truth. The technology that spotted the Chinese spy balloon was not yet active during the Trump presidency. The released facts support comments by former Trump officials that they were unaware of such flights during their tenure. Defense officials now believe that there were 8 separate overflights during Trump's time. These included 2 potential flights over Florida and 1 over Texas. Of course, our military shot down an unidentified object over northern Alaska plus 2 others last month. The Pentagon hasn't said whether any of these were Chinese. Critics point out that upon identifying the Chinese spy balloon, the Biden administration allowed it to float over most of the continental U.S. prior to shooting it down over the ocean.
The Trump administration official statements that they had no knowledge of the balloons are now supported by public information. Evidence shows that only the Biden administration was aware of such flights, and their response was totally inappropriate. China now has all the information they could have dreamed of getting, and we shot the balloon down over the water where we can't even find most of what was under the balloon. Our Defense Department is a disaster.
Our government is funding a project to train Palestinian journalists that will be carried out by a charity that has partnered with terrorist groups. The State Department gave $41,000 last September to Ferez al-Arab, an organization based in the Gaza Strip with a history of partnering with the Hamas government. The money is to launch a 15-month training program that will target employed and unemployed journalists and focus on developing the Palestinian journalists' English language skills. The charity has openly worked with Hamas as recently on a housing project and regularly works with this terrorist organization and others on projects. Faris El Arab gave its media award to a radio network run by the Islamic Jihad movement, honored a self-described journalist who belonged to the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, hosted a press freedom event that featured a spokesman for Islamic Jihad, and co-led a human rights training course with a convicted terrorist. The group has also blasted Israel as an apartheid regime, supports boycott campaigns against the Jewish state, and signed on to a petition that calls on the UN to uncover the terrorist face of Israel.
Israel's our nation's most reliable ally, the only democracy in the Middle East, and is the target of never-ending terrorism, and the UN is supporting the terrorists, and we're supporting the UN's support of the terrorists. This is pure evil as well as stupid.
Conservatives in the U.S. Senate are moving to block plans by the Biden administration to implement policies handed down by the UN's World Health Organization, citing the group's mishandling of the global COVID-19 pandemic, its hostility to the U.S., and its efforts to cover up Communist China's responsibility for the crisis. Senator Ron Johnston from Wisconsin introduced the bill. The legislation requires any convention or agreement resulting from the work of the World Health Organization's intergovernmental negotiating body be deemed a treaty, requiring the advice and consent of a supermajority of the Senate.
Our president is seeking to turn over much of our control of our nation's health to the UN, literally the World Health Organization, an organization who votes against us regularly. The UN is not interested in what is good for our citizens. We should not allow them to control us in any way.
And Texas Senator Cruz has introduced a bill that would end us sending any more of our oil to Communist China. Cruz, working with West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin, has built a bipartisan coalition to stop the Biden administration from shipping one more drop from our nation's oil reserve to our nation's greatest adversary. Senate Republicans are all in, along with five Democrat co-sponsors, on the Cruz-Manchin Protecting America's Strategic Petroleum Reserve from China Act. Our nation's oil reserve was used to drop the cost of gas before the election, and now the price is back up. And some of the oil the Biden administration released was shipped out to Chinese communists with ties to the Biden family and their business dealings.
It's time to end all relationships with China and to move manufacturing back here. They are our enemy. The fact that we've drained our stockpile of emergency oil to help fuel China's economy is the definition of insanity.
And Secretary of State Antony Blinken held his first face-to-face meeting with top Chinese diplomat Wang Yi since the suspected Chinese spy balloon was shot down. The meeting aimed to establish a foundation for future relations, given the escalating tensions over various issues. Wang Yi denied responsibility for the balloon issue and stated that China is committed to developing a relationship with us based on mutual respect, but also stressed respecting China's territorial integrity and sovereignty. He criticized us for interfering in China's domestic affairs and called for the two countries to engage in dialogue and cooperation to address their differences.
This was a total waste of time. China is pure evil, and we need to pull away from them. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some more wisdom. Then we'll talk hiding COVID shot results with Dr. William Makis. At ease, troops, take a break.
This is Lieutenant Colonel retired John Barry, managing partner of Barry Law. For over 50 years, very law has defended the rights of Americans, both on the battlefield and in the courtroom. We are committed to supporting our fellow service members. If you need help appealing your VA disability decision, find us at PTSDlawyers.com or call 888-883-2483.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Look like sheep and you'll be eaten by wolves. According to interviews done with armed robbers, you are far more likely to be targeted by criminals if you look weak and helpless. Carry yourself with pride and military bearing, because many criminals can spot a soft target with one glance. Stay alert and aware of your surroundings. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, did you know that American farmers are going out of business because folks are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers. I love it. Use the promo code FREEDOM and save 10%. Check patriotfoods.com. That's patriotfoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Our nation is really vulnerable. We've been talking of late about the danger of an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse, that, for example, a Chinese balloon could set off that would fry every electric receiver. Only in the past 2 years have we gained the ability to spot and track China's balloons. Who knows what they'll try next? Well, there's another risk out there that we need to be concerned about, something that our state and national leaders should have, but haven't, been fixing for years, for decades. A brutal attack on North Carolina's power grid left 45,000 residents in the dark and scrambling for a way to stay safe. In 2022 alone, there were over 70 attacks on the power grid, with reports of 6 in Florida and 5 in Oregon and Washington. And according to national security experts, this trend is only going to continue. I mean, hey, want to defund the police, not have them protect us and our community? This is crazy. As America's power grid comes under increasing attack, will your city be the next to fall victim to this growing threat? It's a harsh reality, but one that we must face head on. National security experts warn there is an imminent threat to the nation's electric grid. In fact, attacks on just 9 of the nation's 55,000 electric substations could result in a nationwide blackout for up to 18 months. Imagine a blackout lasting not days, but weeks or months. Your life would be frozen in time at the moment the power failed. Lights all over the country would go out, throwing people into total darkness. Without access to a generator, your fridge, electric range, and microwave would be dead. All the food in your fridge and freezer would spoil. Well, I guess one exception to this is if it happens in winter and you live up north, like I do in Michigan, then you can just put your food in the garage. It's really cold out there and it'd be fine. Okay, back to serious. Your well, if you had one, couldn't pump any fresh water into your house. And even if you didn't have a well, a total grid failure means no fresh water to drink, cook, or clean with. You wouldn't be able to operate your radio or TV or charge your cell phone, so you'd be isolated from friends and family. This is not some crazy doomsday theory, but a very real imminent threat. Our current Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, has warned in the past, this is not a question of if, but when. Dr. Peter Pry, a former CIA official and chief of staff of the Congressional EMP Commission, and other top national security experts have raised the alarm for years about the most vulnerable aspect of infrastructure in our nation, our crumbling electric grid. One more area where our political leaders have let us down. When our electric grid fails, it'd be like watching America have a heart attack right before your eyes, because when the heart starts pumping, everything shuts down and the patient flatlines. Our enemies could cripple our great country in a matter of minutes. Former CIA Director James Woolsey warned that an attack on America's infrastructure would, quote, black out the entire national grid and other life-sustaining critical infrastructures for over a year, killing 9 of 10 Americans by starvation and societal collapse, end quote. Our enemies could just sit back and watch us as we self-destruct through looting, rioting, and the targeting of police officers. Our government is woefully unprepared. It seems like lately the government has been fixated on taking more and more away from the people who work hard to earn it, while doing virtually nothing to secure our nation's infrastructure. They've ignored the dire warnings from the national security experts about the grid's vulnerability to physical, electromagnetic pulse, and cyber attacks. Quote, our death toll could be staggering, reports Fox News. We are all fine when the power goes down for a few hours or even days, but an extended blackout would be devastating. So how do you get prepared for a crisis that could take months or even years to recover from? How will you stay safe and warm and protected? A personal parcel solution might be stocking up food and getting a solar power generator, if you have any sun where you live. A corporate solution is to start asking your state and federal representatives what they're doing to get us ready for this potential, maybe inevitable disaster. Should we be throwing money at Ukraine when it's European nations who should be the major source of support, instead of using it to strengthen our nation against this serious and likely crisis? All the illegal aliens we're letting into our nation will have no other choice but to become open criminals if they want to eat or have a place to live. It's time for the free nations of Europe to stand up for Ukraine while we put America first for a change and secure our southern border and rebuild our national electric grid. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. We get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
On January 15th, SpaceX launched a Heavy Falcon rocket for a national security mission. The Space Force has revealed that three of the payloads on board were developed by one of its most secretive agencies, the Space Rapid Capabilities Office, or Space RCO, which is based at Kirkland Air Force Base in New Mexico. The three Space RCO small sats that were launched in January were not experiments, but were operational satellites supporting military activities. Two carried space situational awareness sensors, and the other had an encrypted payload to protect uplink and downlink satellite communications. The announcement was unusual, as Space RCO normally operates under the radar and rarely advertises what it does. The director of Space RCO, Kelly Hammett, said the decision to publicize the satellites on the Space Force 67 mission is part of a broader effort to start shedding the office's cloak of secrecy. Before taking over as head of RCO, Hammett ran the Directed Energy Division at the U.S. Air Force Research Laboratory. One of his goals for the space agency is to boost its visibility on Capitol Hill and to work with a larger portion of the overall space industry, which of course is going to be very difficult if people don't even know that the agency exists. Congress established Space RCO in the 2018 National Defense Authorization Act. Its main backer in Congress was Senator Martin Heinrich. Heinrich for years has been critical of the Air Force for not supporting the operationally responsive space office at Kirkland Air Force Base. The ORS office was established in 2007 to handle fast response space delivery systems and smaller satellites, but by 2013, the Air Force stopped funding the office and folded its activities into its main space procurement shop, the Space and Missile Systems Center. Heinrich and other lawmakers complained that the Air Force's procurement bureaucracy was not agile enough to respond to challenges posed by rival space powers that are threatening to target U.S. systems and anti-satellite weapons. So they pushed to create a separate organization for rapid space acquisition that would be independent and physically separated from the Space and Missile Systems Center, which is how Space RCO was born. Space RCO was really modeled after the Air Force's Rapid Capabilities Office, which has led the development of the X-37B uncrewed reusable space plane and now the new B-21 long-range bomber. Like its Air Force counterpart, the Space RCO operates very differently than most military procurement shops. They have far more autonomy and have congressionally delegated authorities to allocate resources as they see fit. Now, the agency won't disclose its annual funding, but we should expect budgets and workloads to grow as the Pentagon continues to pump more money into space programs to compete with China. So I guess Space RCO is not really a secret anymore. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss the horrible way we're dealing with COVID with Dr. William Marcus. Then we'll talk with veteran Jeff Gray, who was arrested for peaceful protesting. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the front lines of freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Start with 50, take a break, do another 50, then stand at ease. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
From ending our nation's endless wars to making sure veterans get the care they deserve, to addressing our country's out-of-control spending problem, Concerned Veterans for America is taking on the most important issues facing our nation. You can help CVA shape a better future for Americans everywhere. Visit cv4a.org to learn more, see how you can get involved, and join our movement. That's cv4a.org.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome Dr. William Makis. He's an MD from Canada. He's a doctor who wants to make public the real dangers of the current COVID shots and has been threatened with the loss of his license if he does. Of course, to keep his license, he has to get the COVID jabs. He's not alone. We do that in the U.S. too, not just the U.S. So welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Doctor. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Doctor, I've read some of your work where you reveal that overall Canadian physician mortality in 2022 was 53% higher than in 2019. While this excess mortality data is highly related to COVID-19 vaccinated stuff, the mortality is heavily skewed towards the younger age groups, with the youngest doctors, medical students, and medical residents under the age of 30 dying 900% higher rate than in 2022 compared to 2019 and 20. If this is happening to docs, then it's happening to the rest of us, right?
Exactly. This is not happening just to doctors. It's happening to nurses. It's happening to paramedics. It's happening to teachers. It's happening to police officers, firefighters. You know, this is happening everywhere where the COVID-19 vaccines were rolled out and mandated. Now, Canada's had very aggressive COVID-19 vaccine mandates. You know, they forced it on a lot of workers, but doctors have had to have at least 4 COVID-19 vaccines right now to be up to date on their vaccines. So it's a good group to look at if we want to see what the vaccines are doing and what the excess mortality looks like.
And this is insane because these data are available and have been long before we learned about them to the people who are running our countries, yet they don't seem to care. That doesn't make any sense to me. But so there's something going on here beyond just wanting people to be healthy.
Yeah. The Canadian Medical Association, which is our national association for doctors, half of this mortality data comes from them. The other half comes from the other provincial medical associations. So they have access to it. They can see that this is happening. And what they've done is they've come out and they said, this is misinformation. Don't pay attention to it. Get your booster shots as soon as you can. And that's it. They absolutely don't care that their own physician members are dying at record rates. They are so heavily invested in pushing mRNA vaccines that they're willing to look the other way when it comes to vaccine injuries and deaths.
So that has to mean power and or money, right?
Yeah. It's actually probably a combination of both. We know that the Canadian Medical Association has a deal with Pfizer in terms of educating doctors. There was a deal that came out years ago. And also, one of their presidents was pushing the Moderna vaccine for a couple of years, Dr. Gigi Osler. And about 2 months ago, she was appointed by Justin Trudeau as a position on the Canadian Senate. And now she sits on the Canadian Senate, probably as a reward for selling the Moderna vaccine. So you see this kind of a revolving door between the Trudeau government politics and our top healthcare leaders in Canada.
And if it's happening in Canada, it's happening in the United States. And we know it's happening in Australia too, right?
Yeah, when it comes to the excess mortality, you see excess mortality skyrocketing in all the highly COVID-19 vaccinated countries. Here in Alberta, Canada, we've had excess mortality of over 10,000 since the rollout of the vaccines. There's about 3,500 in 2021. It's going to be probably about 5,000, 6,000 in 2022. So we've lost about one in every 1,000 people last year out of our population, most likely due to the COVID-19 vaccines. There's really no other explanation for it. They're not doing autopsies, and they're leaving a lot of these sudden deaths as causes unknown because they don't want to make any kind of link to the vaccine.
That's crazy. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing how we can deal with the COVID with Dr. William Makis. That doesn't mean that the shots and the boosters hurt everybody. But it does mean there's a bigger risk than anybody's telling us, because if there's that many deaths, there's got to be a lot more injuries, sickness, damage medically, right?
Yeah, well, most people are going to feel fine. You know, when we look at the excess mortality, it's 1 in 1,000 that have died. So there'll be a lot of people who will not know anyone who died from the vaccine, and they'll think it's perfectly safe. When Ed Dowd looked at insurance data in the United States, he found, I think it was 1.7 million extra disability claims in the people, working age population, who were subjected to COVID-19 vaccine mandates. So now you're looking at maybe about 1 in 100 who are severely disabled after the COVID-19 vaccine, to the point where they need to apply for disability insurance. And again, more data from the US, I think this came from the CDC, showed that about 10% of people had some kind of a severe side effect after the vaccine that required a hospital visit or hospitalization. So these are pretty big numbers, and we're just at the start of this.
I think that's a good point. We're at the start. We don't know where this is going to end up. We don't know what that shot might do to you 8 years from now or 20 years from now, do we?
Yeah, we have no idea. And obviously, I mean, these vaccines were rushed through. And so, you know, they looked at side effects for the first few months, and then, you know, they pumped them out to the market. But what is frightening, at least to me as a physician, is that even though booster uptake has gone down in Canada, only 25% of Canadians are up to date on their COVID vaccines and had a booster shot in the past 6 months. That means 75% of Canadians have stopped taking COVID-19 vaccines. Despite that, the excess mortality and sudden deaths seem to be increasing from year to year. So 2022 was significantly worse than 2021, and the trend seems to be going up. And now I'm starting to see sudden deaths in younger and younger people. You're looking at, you know, 20, 21-year-olds, college-age, university-age people, and now it's starting to go down to even high schoolers, you know, who are starting to die suddenly. So the trend seems to be really worrying, and it, for now, at least, it seems to be getting worse.
Is there any relationship that you're aware of between those who have gotten the shot versus those who didn't? Is the same kind of thing happening with those who didn't get the shot?
Well, it's very tough to get data and information because the government is hiding it. Now, we do know that the Canadian governments, the provincial governments, tracked what they called vaccine outcomes. You could go on the government websites and see, you know, who's being hospitalized and who's dying. And they kept trying to push this narrative that it was just the unvaccinated and it was a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And we know that they were fudging the data and, you know, they were testing the unvaccinated much more frequently. They would get a false positive test and then, you know, slap the label on them. But what happened over time was actually the data, even as bad as it was, it kept shifting towards the vaccinated. So over time, it was the double vaccinated and the triple vaccinated who were filling up the hospitals and were dying in record numbers. And I think by the time it got to about 90% of all COVID deaths were in the vaccinated, that's when the government across Canada just scrapped all the data. And we've been sort of blind ever since as to who's dying. But you could tell even from the Australian data, you know, right now it's their quadruple vaccinated are the ones who are dying the most, and they're the ones in the hospital. So the more shots you get, it looks like the worse the health outcomes.
That's just plain scary. I can't believe this. I'm not a medic by any means at all. I think my only medical training was when I got a first aid merit badge as a Boy Scout. But I can't remember in my study of history anything like this happening before. As we talked before, this has got to be a move for power and money. This doesn't have any other logical explanation. Do you see one?
Not medically. When you look back in history and you look at sort of the, you know, the drugs that were pushed that people knew were causing harm, or doctors or, you know, leaders knew that they were causing harm. You think, you know, drugs like Vioxx, you know, drugs like thalidomide, you know, you can find examples in the past, but not on this scale. not on the scale of these COVID vaccines, where everyone in power seems to be all in on pushing this regardless of the harm. And I think, first of all, it's a scale of money involved. So, you know, we know that Pfizer and Moderna are raking in tens of billions of dollars of extra income every quarter on these. And of course, there's bribes going left and right to politicians and, you know, leaders of these medical associations and so on. But even, you know, the money aspect, it doesn't seem to explain the aggressive way that they're pushing this. They threw all the medical ethics out the window. So there might be something, you know, a little bit more sinister in play here.
Wow. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. There's more to discuss about the truth about COVID shots, and Dr. Makis is going to stay with us. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do some days. And take a break and stay in the area. We'll be right back.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We'll continue our conversation with Dr. William Makis about COVID. Doctor, this is only slightly related, but have you any thoughts on masks as a preventive thing? That seemed to me to be totally foolish, but there's no damage done, but I don't think any good done by masks. Do you have an opinion on that?
From all the data that I've seen, it seems that masks make no difference. I mean, you could argue that if someone is really sick, or that, let's say, if you're sick, you know, you put on a mask and, you know, maybe you prevent spreading of some droplets or what have you. So there may be sort of some minor benefit. But overall, in terms of, you know, controlling the rate of infection or anything like that, everything I've seen suggests that the masks make absolutely no difference. And I find it very interesting when doctors, especially in Canada, and even politicians tend to be, again, very aggressive about the masking. And, you know, I mean, they've backed off, fortunately. You know, they used to mask our kids, and our kids had to wear masks in school, I think, for about a year or so. That was mandatory. So, again, it's another strange component to this thing. I found that, you know, doctors who want to go back to masking and want to mandate masks again, it seems that they're trying to deflect the failure of the vaccines onto something else. And, you know, they have no explanation for why our excess deaths are actually rising. You know, the vaccines should be saving lives. They're not, obviously. And so it's one way for them to deflect attention onto something else and say, well, no, people are getting sick because they're not masking anymore. And I've seen a lot of that kind of chatter.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, I know Judicial Watch, after having their request for information to U.S. senior government doctors and scientists about the damage caused by the COVID jabs, finally got a judicial ruling in their favor, and they're starting to get some of the truth. But despite all the evidence from around the world of the real danger for many people caused by this COVID jabs, our CDC currently recommends virtually all Americans aged 6 months or older, including pregnant women, get a COVID-19 vaccine and multiple booster shots. Based on what we've just got through talking about, this sounds contrary to all the evidence, and it goes back to what we were talking about before. There's some behind-the-scenes motivation here that doesn't have anything to do with helping people stay healthy.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can look at the censorship on social media that doctors have faced who've spoken up about COVID-19 vaccine injuries and deaths. You know, I started raising concerns about vaccines in kids 5 to 11 years old in Canada, and my Twitter account was shut down and I was banished from social media. I've been repeatedly threatened by LinkedIn. I've had videos deleted from YouTube. I don't even dare post on Facebook. So the censorship has been completely out of control. And, you know, when you look at now that the narrative is starting to shift and information is getting out, it's really only because, you know, Elon Musk bought Twitter, fired everybody, found out that, you know, there were all these, you know, connections to the various government agencies, you know, from FBI to other agencies that were telling Twitter executives to ban thousands and thousands of Twitter accounts and silence doctors who were raising these concerns. So there was definitely a very aggressive censorship in the States through the social media. And we have the same kind of problem in Canada. We've had the provincial health authorities have been aggressively going after doctors who are speaking up, you know, stripping them of their medical licenses and so on. So Canada and US have a very similar kind of problem in that, you know, our politicians, for the most part, and I'm, you know, sort of setting Florida aside, are still aggressively pushing, you know, the jabs in absolutely everybody, in kids, pregnant women, despite the fact that there's now a lot of evidence of harm. Other countries are starting to back off. You know, we've seen France just back off the COVID vaccines. There's European countries that are not offering the jabs to kids anymore. You know, Denmark, not offering it to anybody under 50, Sweden, Finland, Norway, you know, they don't offer it to any healthy kids under 18. So other countries are backing off this disaster, but Canada and the US still seem to be heavily all in.
You know, that just is scary to me. Well, it should be. I mean, it's affecting our health, and it affects how much I can trust my government, because if I can't trust them about that, why should I trust them about anything? This is a scary situation, and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Do you see this coming to an end in any way, shape, or form in either Canada or the United States?
I do. It may still take a little bit of time, but the positives that I see are that, you know, there's now a lot of information coming out on Twitter. All kinds of information is being leaked and made known. You know, you have Project Veritas with all these, you know, Pfizer executives boasting about doing gain of function and other things. I think a lot will come out in terms of the fraud that has been behind the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines, the fraud in the trials, you know, who's really behind, you know, the vaccine push. So information is coming out. And I think the more it comes out, you know, the more it'll be difficult for politicians to sort of stay behind the vaccines. I think they will start to abandon or supporting the shots because it'll be untenable.
And assuming that does happen, for those who got the shots and who are having or will soon have or will have a negative medical response, they're just going to have to live with it, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's going to be a big problem because more and more people are getting COVID-19 vaccine injured. I think in the United States, we may see clinics springing up that will focus on the vaccine injured and treating the vaccine injured because, you know, a lot of doctors, you know, because they themselves did the damage, I don't know what they're going to do. A lot of doctors in Canada seem to be willing to go down with the ship no matter the cost. So, you know, you may see a lot of sort of clinics springing up in the US. It's going to be a lot harder in Canada because Canada is much more tightly controlled. And so people are going to have to push back on the government and the medical boards, because the medical boards, which are called colleges of physicians and surgeons, they are aggressively going after any doctor who would speak up about COVID-19 vaccine injuries. So, and anyone who tries to start a clinic to treat the vaccine injured will probably be shut down and they'll get the police after them. So it'll be a lot harder in Canada for the vaccine injured. I think, you know, there might be a lot more hope in the States.
Wow. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Dr. Mekas. Doc, what's your recommendation for our listeners? I presume it's pretty safe to say that you would not strongly recommend getting the first shot if they haven't got one yet. And follow-up shots, does it make sense for anybody to get them?
I think at this point, probably not. Because there's evidence of a lot of harm, you know, and I'll tell you, honestly, these shots, looking at it as a physician, even I had no idea initially how bad they would be. Now, I thought, okay, well, maybe it's going to be like the flu shot. Probably it's not going to work, but, you know, hopefully it doesn't do any harm. But it ended up being that because this is a brand new technology, it behaves in a complete different way like any other vaccines in the past. These ended up being much more harmful over time than even physicians like myself initially thought. So I think at this point, it doesn't make sense really for anyone to continue taking them. And what I would recommend to people is, you know, educate yourself on the kind of injuries that these vaccines can cause. And you know, right now, Twitter is full of them. You know, Facebook at one point had a huge group called Died Suddenly. And I think it reached over 300,000 people, or they were trying to shut it down. And I don't know if it's back up or not, but, you know, there's a tremendous amount of information available on Twitter. So people can educate themselves. What side effects are other people suffering? And, you know, knowledge is power. And then, you know, you can learn what you can take to mitigate some of this damage, to help your immune system, strengthen your immune system. And the other thing I would do is I'd encourage people to speak out about their own experiences, because it helps all of us, right? When people have had, you know, unusual symptoms or side effects, share it with the world so the rest of us can learn and know what we're dealing with. Because the problem we've had is the censorship. It made it so that people didn't have all the information and didn't know what they were dealing with. So information is key in my mind.
Yes, sir. We're out of time, but is there a way listeners could stay plugged into you and your comments?
Sure thing. I'm on Twitter at MacusMD. I also have a Substack, MacusMD.substack.com. And I release articles usually every day or every other day on whatever's current, you know, going on in with COVID-19, vaccines, excess mortality, sudden deaths, and so on.
Thank you. Doctor, you are a hero in every sense of the word. You've placed your integrity ahead of the possibility of losing your credentials and means of making a living. We need to challenge all medical personnel to be as brave as you are. If we can't trust them on this matter, how can we trust them in anything else? Doctor, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your commitment to the truth, for your nation and for the U.S. and for the world. I'm proud to call you a friend.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with veteran Jeff Gray, who was arrested for peaceful protesting. Then attorney Aaron Jensen will discuss our Second Amendment, and Christine Myron will present Blue Star Family Service Dogs. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 30 good ones, grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.